Mike, I guess the first question I have for you is that we've seen a lot of different reactions to the curriculum, the draft curriculum, I should say, around the province, and so many have said no. What made the after I guess meeting with the board and yourself and the staff and administration, what made the Fort Vermilion Division come to the conclusion that let's give it a try?
Well, for us, it's about the process. It's not necessarily about what currently is in the curriculum. Validation does not mean endorsement of what actually exists within the curriculum. What validation is a process for us with 200 teachers at our disposal and excellent teachers that can actually say, this is okay and this isn't, this is age appropriate and this isn't. So I think the entire validation process gives us an opportunity. Yes, this curriculum is good, or no, this curriculum is not. And I think that's the point that people are missing. If we could depoliticize the conversation to actually look at, for example, we're looking at our three priorities areas, which is language, arts, math, and wellness. If you look at language arts, we've been doing that sort of work around phonemic awareness and the real push on phonics for the last 3 years and seen exponential growth in our kids in terms of reading. So why wouldn't we want a group of experts that have done that work to have a voice in saying, no, this makes this curriculum even better? That's the whole point of draft, is to look at it and go from there. We also are forming working groups because we know that we are looking at some of the subjects from a working group perspective and saying it's not what we need for our kids up here, specifically around the First Nations, Métis, and Inuit content around that piece. We have a number of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit teachers that are going to look at that, as well as a principal of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit initiatives to really say what's the miss here, because it's not necessarily lined up from what we're seeing from the outset. But unless you teach it, you don't know where the bar is and where their kids can achieve it or not, especially if they don't have the foundational skills. But for us, in terms of a voice and sharing our North voice or our Zone 1 voice to that table, I think is a fantastic opportunity. It's like complaining about your politician but not voting. So.
Well, yeah, well said. So really, I guess that I really want to double down on this. It's clear that the Fort Vermilion School Division isn't saying, wow, necessarily what an awesome curriculum. It's like, oh, okay, here's a document. Let's try it out and get some real constructive feedback here after actually trying the darn thing, as you said, complaining but voting.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the entire validation process. So I encourage any teacher that really wants to, if they have an opinion about a certain subject, to really hone in and look at it and to be part of the validation to say, no, this isn't good enough. And I understand the timing of it isn't great. It's actually terrible in terms of, just coming, hopefully coming out of the pandemic and those sort of pieces. It's not perfect, but we don't get to pick the timing. That's what the politicians do. We don't get to pick the new curriculum. We get to look at it and then give feedback to say it works or doesn't work. And that's our role in the whole validation process. And so I think we vote with our minds and say this is good or this isn't good. We get all of our perspective from our large populations up here, our First Nations, Métis, and Inuit, our large Filipino population, our large Low German population, and say, how do we really see this fitting in the Fort Vermilion School Division, or it doesn't work at all?
Okay, awesome. And roughly, so how long is it? It's basically for the full academic year next year that you'd be trying it, from what I understand.
Well, it is and it isn't. The pilot runs from September. The feedback loop runs from September until February. There'll be some professional development around those things and some tight timelines. But really, we have about 6 months to really digest these things, look at topics that we haven't taught before to say yes and no, because there's no way you can teach the entire curriculum by February. And then the goal is for the government by April to then have all of the feedback in so that they can revise. They've always said they're going to revise it and make it better than what the draft is, and then push it out for September of 2022. So we're going to do as much as we can to get our voice on the total document, but some of the parts we're still going to have voice on, we probably won't have an opportunity to teach before the deadline hits.
Yeah, fair enough. And I guess on this one, Mike, there was a few things on this that I wanted to hit on, at least to me, that I know talking to different people that I was like, geez, I wish these things would have been like in the curriculum when I was growing up. And that's like things like financial literacy and, like other like core competency skills, like public speaking and that in my age were like kind of merged in with language classes. But I mean, to see these new types of things out there, like, consent and those types of topics, as an educator, are you looking forward to seeing those types of topics out there?
Yeah, I think what really, nowhere in the curriculum does it say how we have to teach it, and I think that's really important. Like, that's the teacher autonomy that comes with curriculum. So although there's a lot of rhetoric out there that, math is back to drill and kill and memorization and those sort of things, it doesn't have to be taught that way, but it is a change from the current model of instruction. But is there, when we talk about finance up here, our parents want three things. They want our kids connected, and they want the community connected to the school, all communities different. And so they kind of want to look at those community values instead of it being all painted with one brush. They want our kids to know how to read and write, and they want them to be able to do math, not just on their iPhone, but actually in their head. And so some of those skills
Amen.
Are coming back in, and that really excites me in terms of what's wrong with learning, huge mental math skills that they can add, subtract, multiply, divide in their head.
Yeah, I'm glad I can do that.
Yeah, and so I think we've lost some of that in some of the pieces. We're worried about some of the material coming down to lower grades, and is it age appropriate? And the other thing we're really looking closely at is the interrelationship between reading and writing, and how are those two tied together? Because really, if you can't read, you can't write, and how do we tie those together? So we build those together and spiral them up. So our parents have said math, kids understanding a full number sense and totally understanding numeracy, so they understand financial literacy around credit cards, loans, mortgages, those sort of things are vital, and they want their kids to read. And I think both the literacy and the numeracy are going to push that a little bit in the new curriculum, and so we're excited to see where that goes. We're not piloting social and science. We're going to have working groups on those, but our parents really wanted us to focus on those two core, and so that's where we're going to focus.
Okay, and I guess in this one too is that I know MLA Dan Williams had kind of reinforced this point too, is that it is a draft curriculum, but it's also very important that he says that not only like the education community gets in on it, but like parents and community stakeholders as well. So I guess for you, for the Fort Vermilion School Division, is that as this gets rolling, how important is it to hear back from parents and those in the community about what they think?
Oh, 100%, and I've already started that process just to get our initial sort of feelings out there. I'm going to all parent council meetings. Already started them already. I've been to a couple, and so the first initial reaction about the curriculum and what they really want to see and not see, and then as we move through this, how do we pull our parents together so we can have that feedback from a parent council perspective too, to say, hey, this isn't really working, or I really like this part. We're going to have both loops on the go and try and get that all together in February. And then ultimately our goal is to write one full report where we can publicly publish that. So both teachers and our district office here can be proud of the input and the hard work that we're going to do to implement this curriculum. And it'll show what we believe from our perspective, where it needs to change. And that'll be published on our website. And those sort of things, and then we'll hand that to government for their look at it so they can, hopefully revise some of the recommendations that we have for them.
All right, awesome. I think those are all my questions, unless you'd like to add something that I may have forgotten.
No, I just think the biggest thing is if you take back two steps and depoliticize it, to me it doesn't matter if it's a UCP government or NDP government or a Liberal government. Validation is an opportunity for us to add voice. Validation is not endorsement. And so I think that's key for everyone to understand, that to move forward, we have to add our voice to it to make it better.